afford it. Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Top of the afternoon to you all. Great to have your company this afternoon. Now, the sun is shining somewhere, eh? But not here in Auckland. So for all of us out there, it's time to take 25. Sit back, relax, pour yourself a cuppa, or maybe something a little bit stronger, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she's waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken by some sunglasses asking about a scar. And I know I gave it to you months ago. I know you're trying to forget, but between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
We probably all need carrying home at some stage. that. I promised you that we would be introducing Irene today. I threw her in the deep end last week. So let's find out. Irene, it's great to have you on board, being my other lump of sugar, if you like, on the Two Sugars program. So let's find out about you. I know a lot about what you've done in your life, and I don't even know where you're going to start.
Oh, I've got no idea where to start. It would take hours. I'd rather be called a slice of lemon than a lump of sugar. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Okay, well, I'm just a normal mother, human being, two daughters, loads of grandchildren and great-grandchildren now, and very lucky to have had a very exciting life, very interesting life. So, yes, done all sorts of things. Been chef at an early age, and loads of restaurants and hospitality-type institutions. I ran away to sea when my youngest child was old enough to look after herself.
Oh, how exciting. So what did you run away to sea on?
Well, it was really just a little sailboat to begin with, just a little 44-footer, and went up to Fiji, Tonga, did what we call the circuit over to New Caledonia and Vanuatu, and then back down to
yourself?
New Zealand. No. I had a very dear old friend who's now passed away, and I used to race his boat on Wednesdays and in the weekends up in Auckland. And because I lived in Hamilton then, that's where the up in Auckland part is.
Ooh, down the Tron. they're thinking about changing Hamilton's name to the Māori name.
I know,
okay? Will it have any bigger connotations?
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
So you were in Hamilton and came up to do the racing.
And this dear old soul decided that he wanted to do a trip around the islands before he was too very troubled with a whole pile of physical aspects, his knees and his hips and his heart, et cetera, et cetera. So he wanted to get this trip done while he still could, was basically what it was. But he couldn't handle the boat on his own, so he wanted somebody to go with him. And
what a
so I know he was just absolutely wonderful. And it was a 3-month trip. And I still had my 18-year-old living with me at that stage, so I boarded her out. Unfortunately, I couldn't board her out with the people I wanted, you know what 18-year-olds are like. But we eventually found a place that suited her, and off I went. And I had the most amazing time sailing this boat around the islands. It was just brilliant. And that changed my whole life. So I came back to New Zealand and checked on all the family and made sure everything was fine, and then went off and fulfilled a couple of promises I'd made to various people I'd met in the last 3 months, delivering their boats all around the Pacific for them.
Fantastic.
I know, it was fabulous.
When you're delivering the boats, you have a little bit of a crew with you, or the boats you can kind of handle yourself?
Most of the time, 90% of the time, I had crew with me, particularly in those early days, because ocean crossing is a lot different to coastal sailing, and I needed a lot more experience. So, for instance, an American chap who'd sailed his boat down to the islands and just didn't like our rougher weather that we get down in the South Pacific. So he said, "Nope, I don't want to do this. You get the boat over to the Gold Coast for me." So, you know, back I went with a couple of friends, and we took the boat over to the Gold Coast, and we're getting paid for it. So,
isn't that lovely? Someone that's probably got enough money to say, "Well, I don't want to do it. You know, can you just pop my boat over for me?"
Yeah, it's the absolutely amazing lifestyle. It's just so interesting and so much fun.
Did you see a lot of sea life kind of as you're going through, or is it just pretty much just water?
Out in the middle of the ocean, no, but leaving and getting there, yes, loads of it. And so many things that we can do and play with in the ocean, that's, you know, just fascinating. I remember the very first crossing I did with this chap going across to Fiji. And there were 6 of us on board, and of course it was my first crossing, so I had no idea what the ocean was going to be like. And I'm out on deck sailing the boat. This boat had no autopilot, so we helmed it everywhere ourselves. All the crew are asleep. It's pitch black. There's no moon. Nothing going on at all. And I get this amazing smell, and it just got so strong that I started getting goosebumps and I got really scared. So I yelled out to the captain and he came racing up. Well, all hell broke out on deck. We had a bunch of whales swimming around us.
Wow.
And, of course, we get all these stories about how whales, boats run into whales and they sink. Well, I don't actually believe that. I think whales are far too intelligent to let that happen. But anyway, these whales were there cruising along with us, and everybody was up on deck bouncing around, banging pots and pans and turning the music on and turning the engine on and everything to make sure the whales knew that we were there. And I'm standing there going, whoa, this exciting, but that's what the smell was. Yeah, it was amazing.
Gosh, you couldn't. Oh wow, you couldn't even. You can't even imagine. Well, you can imagine it, but I mean, to be there, that would just be something else, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and these massive creatures that was, you know, three times the size of the boat, just totally dwarfed us. It was a beautiful experience.
So it's more about letting them know that you were there, not about scaring them away.
Oh,
a bit
well,
of both.
You know, that's what the captain at the time. Did, whether it's the right thing to do or not, I don't really believe that. I have swum with whales and sharks and whale sharks and manta rays and every type of fish that you can imagine, and they're far more intelligent and clever and have far more ability to know what's going on around them than what we do in the ocean. It's, I really don't believe that a school of whales didn't know there was a boat there.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough, yeah. And you also mentioned at the start, chefing. So from sailing to chefing, there's a bit of a jump there.
Chefing to sailing, no. Well, I needed, I started young in life, like we all did back in those days. And so I was 17 when I had my first child. And I needed an income. You know, none of my background came from a wealthy family, so nor did my husband, so I needed an income to help me. And my first marriage was a mistake, so I became a solo mother early and then married again, and unfortunately he did get killed in a car accident further on down the track, and I became a solo mum again. But fortunately for me, I decided on getting work at night so that I could be with my child during the day. And then I had a second child 2 years later, so that became more important. And my husband worked during the day and I worked in the evening. So it was the perfect situation to have all-round parenting for our children. Unfortunately, it meant I didn't see my husband terribly much, but in the weekends we made up for it. So, you know, that wasn't too bad. And so that's actually how I became a chef. I started off by being a waitress, and one of the chefs in one of the restaurants recognised a talent and started training me. And back in those days, City and Guilds was done entirely in the restaurants. There were no establishments or anything.
Yeah,
it was totally done in the restaurant. So 4 years later, there I was, a fully qualified chef.
And you're an amazing, you make some amazing, amazing food.
Thank you. Well, it did become a passion. It was certainly something that was hidden under the layers there that I probably would never have discovered if I hadn't fallen into it that way. It did become a passion, and many, many years later, I worked for some of the rich and famous around the world. So
cooking.
It gave, yes, as their chef. So it gave me the opportunity to meet some amazing people and cook for some amazing people. And
I'm sure the budget then would also mean that you could actually, you know, buy the best food ever, or did that really matter?
A budget? Budget for those type of people? You don't cook for the King of Spain and then have a budget, girl. No budget. Definitely not.
But it meant that you could probably get the best food that
Absolutely.
You wanted to cook with.
Absolutely.
And to create some amazing...
Absolutely. Don't shoot me down in flames, but back in those days, I even would fly what was called sea bass in those days, which is the Patagonian toothfish, which is... an endangered species now, but didn't know it back then, and would frequently have it flown up from Chile so that it was fresh on ice.
Wow, and I presume these boats were big enough that the plane just landed at the back of the boat, or did you
have to go in? No, not quite. It normally, of course, it always had to go through all the channels to get to me, so it always had to go into a fish shop for me to collect it from there so that it passed all the customs requirements, etc. But it's not unusual to have stuff shipped all around the world.
Isn't this interesting? You know, as you started your story kind of going from, you know, solo mum going right through to the other end of the spectrum of working with people that just have oodles of money and don't even know what money is, I suppose, you know, because it just, it happens. Yeah. And to see both ends of the world, pretty amazing journey.
That's what I said. That's why I say I think I'm very privileged to have had such an exciting life. I mean, there was loads of ups and downs, but that's what creates the personalities that we are. And I'm just very grateful as I had that life. I like to focus on the absolute wonderful fun parts of the life that I had. And
oh, yeah, you must do. I always think of that. And I think probably we're all guilty of sometimes dwelling on what the bad things were and the what ifs, and it's like, oh, forget those. You know, you can't change the past.
No,
it is what it is. Yeah. And so if we can look at all of those great things that we've done, I think that kind of inspires us for our future as well. Yeah. But you're right, shapes who we actually are today.
Totally agree. And I mean, it comes down to everything that I've done. I look at when I went away sailing, and I look at the effect that that had on my children, and it did have an effect on them. It was a wonderful opportunity for me, and I became a professional yacht master. I got my ticket in the end to justify the good money I was earning delivering boats, etc. And that was all very exciting for me. My children were growing up and living their own lives, but they still didn't have...
They didn't have you.
A mother around, you know? So my daughter, when she had her children, she was really resentful that I wasn't there to babysit for her and to help her. And I understand that, you know? It wasn't something that I thought about at the time because I didn't have that in my life. But now I look at it and I go, my poor girl, she did miss out on something. But would I change it if I had to do it again? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. And it is interesting because, you know, you think, well, I've brought up the children, you know, they're independent, they now want to go on with their own life. And I would certainly think like that. I was very much brought up that way as well. You know, get out there, make your life for you, go for it. And you do. But you're right, just thinking of it that way, not to maybe have that support. But again, they're all independent doing their own thing. But yeah, when you think back, you know, not having that mum there to turn to when things are quite going wrong. Well, and it would probably be easier in today's world because you just Skype each other, wouldn't you? It's not quite the same as having the person right there. But, gosh, back in those days, I remember even when I was travelling, a postcard, you know, and whether it ever got home or not, I have no idea, you know, a letter through the post.
Well, they didn't even have computers in my day. I remember having a word processor because one of the things I did was I bought my own boat and I spent 5 years sailing around the South Pacific. And I also did a writing course because I wanted to write. So while I'm sailing around the Pacific, you know, they say, what do you do when you're spending all, you know, 8 days out at sea getting from one place to another? Well, I used to write and put my stories together and wrote all sorts of little short stories. I wrote stories for my grandchildren and all sorts of things. And I had state-of-the-art word processor, you know, with the floppy disks and things. That was like right up there, man. It was one of the most expensive machines that you could buy. And I had this on my boat and away I went. What I would have done if I had a computer. Wow.
Yeah, wouldn't that be incredible? So did you publish any of those stories?
Yes, I did. I had several magazines. I'm just trying to remember the name of them. That I used to write for. I had a silly little story. It was just a 3,000-word story that I used to write for a magazine, went in the back page of their magazine, and it was Cocky the Cockroach, who was travelling around the world with a drunken skipper. So,
oh, how cool is that?
It was just a silly little thing, but they liked it.
We're going to see if we can pull some of those up, and we'll post them on our Facebook, if you don't mind.
We'll see if we can find them.
And, yeah. That'd be quite cool.
I'll have to try and remember the names of the magazines. I did sell several photographs to some magazines as well. I also did a little course in photography, so I could learn a little bit there.
Yeah, there'd be some amazing photography, I could imagine, you know, being out and about. That would be pretty awesome.
It was. And underwater photography. Unfortunately, in those days, they didn't have underwater cameras, but some of my diving that I've done since was underwater cameras. I've managed to get some amazing shots, and yeah, it's been awesome.
Wow. My gosh, we are going to have so much to talk about over the coming weeks. I think we might have to delve in a little bit more into Irene's life and some of the things. And I'm sure she's going to be able to give us some great tips and tricks and advice, you know, from her experiences throughout the world. So, yeah, listen in. And if there's anything that you've heard Irene talk about today that you want her to maybe expand on a little bit, post us a little note on the Facebook page and we'll see whether we can open that up. But I'm going to delve and see if I can find some of those stories. And if we do find them, we will post them up on the page. So, yeah, I think in the coming weeks, we'll just delve a little bit further.
Well, all right. I'm not sure that I like that word.
She's sitting here thinking, what have I got myself into? But it's all right because that's all we have time for today. So we will pick up on this in the coming weeks. So we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
I know you've been hurt by someone else. I could tell by the way you carry yourself. If you let me, here's what I'll do. I'll take care of you. I've loved and I've lost. I've asked about you and they told me things, but my mind didn't change. I still feel the same. What's a life with no fun? Please don't be so ashamed. I've had mine, you've had yours. We both know, we know. They won't get you like I will. My only wish is I die real. Cause that truth hurts and those lies heal. And you can't sleep thinking that he lies still. So you cry still, tears all in a pillowcase. Big girls all get a little taste. I'll pushing me away so I give a space. I'll dealing with a heart that I didn't break. I'll be there for you, I will care for you. I keep thinking you just don't know. Trying to run from that, say you're done with that. On your face, girl, it just don't show. When you're ready, just say you're ready. When all the baggage just ain't as heavy. And the party's over, just don't forget me. We'll change the pace and we'll just go slow. You won't ever have to worry. You won't ever have to hide. And you'll see all my mistakes. So look me in my eyes. Cause if you let me, here's what I'll do. I'll take care of you. I've lost. Yeah. It's my birthday. I get high if I want to. Can't deny that I want you. But I lie if I have to. Cause you don't say you love me to your friends when they ask you. Even though we both know that you do, you do. One time been in love, one time. You and all your girls in the club, one time. Also convinced that you're following your heart. Cause your mind don't control what it does sometimes. We all have our nights though. Don't be so ashamed. I've had mine, you've had yours. We both know, we know.
You hate being alone when you ain't the only one. You hate the fact that you bought the dream when they sold you one. You love your friends, but somebody should have told you something to save you instead of say.
Tell me, I don't care if you hurt.